You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the beep beep.
Hi, this is Letitia from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I just watched the presidential motorcade in Poland. It looks like the motorcade that we would see here, and I'm wondering, how in the heck do they get all those cars over there? I am a school teacher, so I can't be reached till after 3 p.m. Thanks.
Hello.
Hi, Letitia. It's Jorge Just from ELT.
Hi, Jorge.
The chief's not feeling too hale today, so she asked me to step into duty. I'm always stepping into duty. Do motorized vehicles get you all revved up?
Well, I am from Ypsilanti, Michigan. My father retired from Ford, and hell, you know, we're only 30 minutes outside of the Motor City, so I can't talk engine numbers or anything like that, but...
Well, you called about the motorcade. Car-wise, this is pretty in the weeds. Is this like a hobby, car spotting?
Not really.
Are you like some people never forget a face, and you're the kind of person who never forgets a Ford?
No, I mean, I notice cars, right? Like, it's my connection to the car industry. I mean, maybe people aren't like this in other states, but I feel like we kind of are around here, you know?
All right, so what drove you to call the hotline?
Well, I happened to be home on spring break, and the weather was crappy, and I was watching MSNBC, and they showed Joe Biden's motorcade going through Warsaw, and I was like, damn it, that looks just like the motorcade that you see, like, here in the States. And it just really struck me, like, oh my gosh, that's the same one. How the hell did they get all that overseas?
So what do you want to know? What motorcade questions are rolling around in your head?
I want to know, is it the same motorcade that is here in the States? If it's not the same, then, like, is there, like, a European motorcade and then they hurry up and drive it to the spot in Europe? How does all that work? You know, because, like, how many limos do we have made? And whose job is it to organize all that?
All right, Letitia, are you ready to get this show on the road?
I am.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's step on the clutch. We're going to shift into first gear. And then we're going to very gently release the clutch with our left foot. Okay, don't stall. Please don't stall. Not stalling. Not stall. And we're off. All right. First thing to know is that it's the Secret Service that's in charge of all presidential motorcades.
So it's under their department then?
Yeah. And we have undercovered a former Secret Service agent to answer all your questions.
No way.
I want to introduce you to Christopher Albanese.
It was a running joke that we were highly paid glorified meat shields.
Holy shit.
A meat buffer, you know, a shield of meat, a meat shield between the protectee and wherever potential threats could be.
That's crazy. A meat shield. I mean, I guess that's what you sign up for, right? Like, it's scary and gross and funny all at the same time.
Like, basically the best jokes. And so Christopher was on Joe Biden's detail back when Biden was vice president.
Oh.
And he also protected Jimmy Carter, George Bush's senior and junior, Barack Obama. So as you can imagine, shielding these people is a serious, risky job.
Before I was hired, the boss of the field office came to my house. I was actually with my parents and sat us all down and was brutally truthful about what the job entailed and what could be.
That's ominous, what could be. That's super ominous.
Yeah, right? And then the boss asked him this.
Are you comfortable with and can you give up your life? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself for the president or the vice president?
Like, literally, that's like a question that gets asked?
Yeah. And if you hesitate at all, you can't be an agent.
Did he hesitate? Obviously, he didn't hesitate because he worked for all those people.
Yeah, he didn't hesitate. He got the gig. And once Christopher got the gig, he had to get the outfit.
The bread and butter of the Secret Service is the guy, the woman in sunglasses, the earpiece, you know, walking alongside the president, the vice president.
Oh, I love it because you can spot him a mile away. They have the glasses, the earpiece, the dark suits. They don't smile, right? Like, no facial expressions.
Do you have a theory about why they're always in sunglasses?
I suppose so. You can't read their eyes, right? If eyes are the window to the soul, I think you can't always learn to mask your reactions. But I would think this, you know, with sunglasses, you can certainly hide that. That would be my theory.
That was also my theory, but I ran it by Christopher. Why the sunglasses?
Oh, Claire.
So it's really just practical.
Yeah. Your head is always on a swivel. You're always looking for threats. And so you can't take that second, you know, on the tarmac and it's a bright sunny day and you can't see on the distance because the sun is, you know, hitting your eyes. It's just not acceptable.
Right. You can't do what I do when I walk out of a building and it's sunny and I go, ah, and I look for my sunglasses for 6 minutes.
Yeah. That's when your protector gets killed.
Yeah, makes sense, I guess. You don't ever want your sight impeded if your job is to be a meat shield.
Right. And keeping lookouts a huge part of the job. Christopher described what it's like being on the road, protecting the president.
So you're constantly scanning. You're always looking at hands. You're always looking at faces. You're always looking at waistbands for bulges, ankles for bulges. You're constantly thinking about what's coming up next. Constantly looking out the window for potential threats.
Holy crap.
But there's also times where it could be mind-numbingly boring. Like during the election, candidates will go to like Iowa. And sometimes you do a motorcade in Iowa from point A to point B. It's 100 miles. And it's just cornfields, right? There's no one there. It's just cornfield. There's no threats.
You go from everything's a threat, everything's a threat.
To everything, everything's corn. Yeah.
How much of the job is waiting and sitting around?
Yeah, 90%. And, you know, they tell you this when you're getting hired. 90% of the time you'll be standing around for maybe that one time in your career you have to react. And that's what they're paying you for. Paying you for that one time.
Right. It's like being a left fielder.
Yes. But you still got to have a good throwing arm.
Yep. When I was a kid, I was on a softball team one season. Mm-hmm. And I was out in... Oh, right field, watching a butterfly or whatever, right. And like totally missed the one time a ball came to me.
That's when your protectee gets killed.
Yep, absolutely. Be dead on my watch. Be spacing out.
Totally. But that's enough. That's enough sports talk. Let's get back to the car talk, the motor kid. Christopher knows all about it because when he was in the Secret Service, he helped coordinate motorcade logistics.
Okay.
And it's a pretty big duty. Because as you saw on TV, the president rules deep.
Yes.
So we tracked down a video of the motorcade you saw in Warsaw.
Oh.
It's a stream of cars whipping out of a parking lot. I'm going to send it to you. And Christopher watched it too. So he's going to run through what all these cars are doing.
Should I play it?
Please.
So I'm watching it now. You're seeing the lead vehicles.
I see. Two police cars.
Right.
And they are policia. They are Polish.
So in there will be a Secret Service agent directing and coordinating with the law enforcement assets.
There's an SUV, like a Cadillac.
All those will have Secret Service agents.
Here comes some weird-ass looking Jeep vehicle.
You'll see the president's vehicle and then the spare limo. There's always two.
That looked like maybe Joe Biden was in that one. Oh, and there's a big old van pulling out behind it.
So that white van, that was probably the press.
Another big old van. Two, they look like party buses. Three, four, SUV, and another SUV.
This, the White House staff, chief of staff, aides, assistants.
There went the fifth one.
You'll have tactical units in there as well.
And here comes a tactical unit, six, Chrysler, seven, eight, nine. Oh, there's a... What was that?
One of those Suburbans that drove by, blacked out, had what's called the counter-assault team in it, the CAT team. They have a pretty cool emblem. It looks like a panther attacking. They get the best training, close quarters combat. They get the best weapons, best equipment. They're the heavy guns. They're the cavalry that comes in.
After that comes the really big guns, like the scary ones.
The military official who carries the football, you know, the nuclear football.
The nuclear football is a briefcase, and inside it are the codes to authorize the launching of nuclear weapons. Have you heard of that term, the nuclear football?
Yeah, yes, I have, but I guess I didn't even think that it travels with him because if the shit goes down, right? He's got to be ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy crap. There's so many cars, way more than 10.
So I counted like, I don't know, 20 cars.
Yeah, yeah. That's a typical motorcade. Isn't that crazy?
That's intense. I kind of want to watch it again. I won't, though. I won't be rude.
All right, so we kind of whizzed by it, but I want to focus on the presidential limo for a minute. It has a special nickname. It's called the Beast. You don't have a nickname for your car, do you?
Oh, no, I'm not that person.
So the Beast, it's a special specimen. I've heard it described as a White House on wheels, a tank in Cadillac clothes. This thing is built on the bed of a truck with 8-inch thick doors.
Oh, my God.
5-inch thick windows made of bulletproof glass.
Wow.
And it weighs 20,000 pounds.
Holy shit.
It's a truck dressed up like a Cadillac.
I suppose because if you gotta start bajan across terrain, you need to be able to do it, right?
Right.
But it looks like there are two beasts.
Yeah. Christopher told us there's always two beasts in the motorcade, and they're always close together. One's a decoy, basically.
Right, right, right.
So you don't know which car the president's in.
Right, of course.
And not everybody can handle the beast.
The only people that touch those cars are the Secret Service agents. The only people that open those doors, the Secret Service agents. The only people behind the wheel of those vehicles are Secret Service agents. You're not bringing the beast to Jiffy Lube for an oil change, right?
Right.
It's going to be taken care of at a Secret Service facility.
Which means that only specially trained mechanics with security clearances can tinker around under the belly of the beast.
Yeah, I never even thought about the service on the vehicle. The mechanics had to pass a security clearance. The drivers have to be able to do extra special moves, probably, you know?
You are now thinking like a Secret Service agent.
I kind of am.
And the main thing those drivers and mechanics think about is protecting the president.
President gets the most important car. And so that the front of the motorcade is the most important. So like if something were to happen, those cars would take off. And if the other cars can keep up, then they can keep up. But the Secret Service agents, their duty is only to the president of the United States. They, you know, they also have to protect the other people who are within the motorcade. But like if things are going really, really bad, the agents are going to focus on the protecting and getting them away.
It's like this huge coordinated organism almost.
Yes.
Like a nest of ants or something that gets attacked. And then all of a sudden, everybody moves in coordination, protecting the queen.
Right. It's a 360-degree bubble of security.
It's pretty impressive, really, you know? Like, security is tight if you're looking at this, right? There's a bazillion cars, and they all look scary.
Yeah, totally. So that's what makes up the president's protective superorganism.
Mm-hmm.
His highly trained ant hive. So what happens when the commandant-in-chief goes to Warsaw?
So if you need 150 agents, 150 agents will come over. If we need three different motorcades will come over.
That's after the break. All right, Letitia, buckle up.
Okay, I'm ready.
So the Secret Service, they don't just sit shotgun in the motorcade parade.
One of the amazing things about the Secret Service is they're good at providing protection, but they're great at logistics. And moving from point A to point B with that protective bubble takes a lot of streamlined logistics. It takes a lot of coordination, and not just with the Secret Service, but with the military, with local law enforcement. And so there's agents who are sitting down weeks in advance, months in advance, with the White House staff and figure out what the president is going to be doing, where he's going to be going, and where he's going to be staying.
So Secret Service agents will scout the route, trying to anticipate anything that might come up.
Right? Like, what if he's got to pee? Where do we stop? Right? Mm.
Yeah, that's only the tip of it. They have to think about every nasty, horrible thing that could possibly happen and plan for how to deal with it.
Like coordinating with the local level one trauma hospital. Because if something were to go bad, the president gets hurt, we would be going and taking the president to the hospital. And so we put the hospital on notice on this day from these hours. Please have a team ready. And then the lead advance agent who's conducting the advance will have gone through the hospital, seen the operating room, know exactly where they're going to be going. Heaven forbid something happened to the president and the vice president.
Got it. Yeah, you don't want to, the elevator door is open and there's McDreamy. And you're like, what the hell's going on, guys?
If he's the doctor, we're screwed.
That's kind of fascinating. It's just something I wouldn't think about, right? Like, they are planners extraordinaire. I suppose if you ever needed some help planning a party, they'd probably be great helpers because they have to think about everything ahead of time.
Whatever they determine is needed to create that 360-degree bubble of security, they get.
And same thing goes when the president's traveling overseas.
So if they need 150 agents, 150 agents will come over. If we need three different motorcades, three different motorcades will come over. We bring our cars. We bring everything with us. But all that stuff has to get shipped in before the president gets there.
Okay, so they do take it then.
Yep, you were right. So how do you get two 20,000-pound beasts and just a general shit ton of other heavily armored specialized vehicles overseas?
I imagine one of those big giant planes.
Big giant plane's an understatement. Here, I'll send you a picture.
Oh, there it is. Holy. Like, it looks like they're in a building, but they're not. They're on a plane. That's a plane.
Yep, that is the belly of a big f***ing plane. Two rows of cars next to each other going as far back as you can see.
I mean, the most giant plane ever.
So it's called a C-17, and this thing can get off the ground holding more than 170,000 pounds of cargo.
I mean, that's just almost too much for my brain to comprehend.
Yeah.
You know?
It means it could lift up the space shuttle.
Holy shit.
With 10 grand pianos duct taped to it.
That's insane.
Christopher said, on some trips they take Marine One, which is the president's helicopter. So in addition to all those cars, they'll also have the helicopter in the plane.
In the plane?
It's like a turducken.
It's just so wild.
So Christopher knows all about this. He's flown in it.
You'd always just be like sitting next to the beast and staring at it. I'm like, man, the thing is, it's like a tank. You're just like, I hope the airplane can get up in the air. And of course, obviously it does because those airplanes are huge and they're powerful.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty bad failure of logistics.
Yeah.
Oh, another question I have is, how many motorcades are there? Is there like a European motorcade? And then like if it's in London, then do they bring it through the channel? How does all that work?
So the trips where there's more than one stop, they will fly out motorcades to all of those places.
Say the president was going to Warsaw and then maybe he was going to Germany. So those are two stops. You would have two entire different groups of vehicles and equipment. And so in that case, you would need multiple C-17s. To carry all of the equipment, all of the people necessary.
Holy smokes. That is, now I was thinking they would just pick up the motorcade in Warsaw, right? Put it on the plane, take it to Paris. Nope. Wowza. Okay. What line item is that in the budget?
I don't know where it comes in the budget, but I know they do drive the beasts into the ground. Not every president gets a brand new baby beastie.
Oh, okay.
The current first whip is from 2018.
Okay.
And the one before that lasted a decade. But eventually, every good beast does retire from the motorcade.
What do they do with it?
Well, what happens with those cars? Say like Bill Clinton's limo or George W. Bush's limo, even Barack Obama's limo. Once they're retired from service, they go to the training facilities and agents get to train on those cars.
Oh.
And then they get to act out scenarios where, for me, it was Bill Clinton's limo.
The scenario was that Clinton's beast had been attacked, and Christopher, who was driving the car behind, had to get that beast out of the danger zone.
So I got to ram Bill Clinton's limousine with a Suburban and push it, you know, 100 yards down the road, simulating, you know, getting away from the attack. And I was like, wow, I just bashed Bill Clinton's limo. How cool is that?
I'm glad they're always training and they're thinking of different things that could happen, because the world is a batshit crazy place. And I mean, I think, is it crazier than it used to be? Feels like it. But I think there's just more ways to be crazy these days.
Yeah, and that just means more and more things the Secret Service has to plan for.
Yeah, and think about all the time. Lord have mercy. Well, I will never look at a motorcade the same again in my entire lifetime.
I hope you look at many, 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 many motorcades.
Me too.
And that you fun fact the hell out of everybody around you.
Oh, you know I will. I'm a teacher. Are you kidding me? I love to school people whenever possible.
This episode was produced by Hadley Robinson, Kayla Stokes, Stephanie Werner, Bibi Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron. Our fact-checker is Nicole Pasulka. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Music by Dara Hirsch, Billy Libby, Peter Leonard, Emma Munger, and John Kimbrough. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. No meat shield for me, please. I'm vegan. Goodbye.